Hey everyone, welcome back to the Double Click Podcast. This week we're going to talk about Jesus and. Well, hey everyone, thanks for joining us again. So I think we have talked about this subject before. Like we have been talking about something else, and we've said we were going to do an individual podcast on it.
Complete transparency, we were looking back through to see if we'd already recorded a podcast on this.
Absolutely.
So maybe we did, but I really think it's one we've either had an aside from a previous podcast or talked about maybe we'd do a podcast on this.
Yeah, because it's up on the whiteboard and there's no checkbox beside it. And
so that means
yeah, absolutely. Let us know if we're triple stamp and a double stamp here. But the deal is this is one that's just come up a lot this week.
Yeah.
And it's something I think we all wrestle with. So let me go ahead and say this. I think when we're talking about, and I'll describe what we mean by Jesus and in just a minute. It's something we wrestle with, and I think I can maybe articulate how we get there a little bit further. But really what we're looking at is the danger line. And here's the basis of it. The idea of Jesus and is that, especially within the church culture, there's a lot of times we will take a momentary application or a method that God uses, or something that might line up for a season with the Christian faith, but then we attach it as permanent. And so it starts to become, and this is what happens like within churches. I think one of the areas we talked about this was in music. Mm-hmm. Like we will attribute a style or something we experienced at one time in a way that God moved, mm-hmm. and we will say that is how God moves for everybody. Mm-hmm. And we'll start to basically shift our evangelism to be Jesus and this type of music. Mm-hmm. Or another way that it spills over is Jesus and this book.
Right.
Jesus and this Bible study.
Or the Bible and...
Yes.
You know, the Bible and this book on leadership, the Bible and this prayer book, the Bible and when it's God's Word.
And I think the talking through the dangers on that and kind of trying to hit some of those areas is because a lot of times you'll get into conversations with believers, or maybe you'll visit a church, mm-hmm. and you will hear somebody who is preaching or teaching, and they're talking about the gospel, and they're using the Bible, but then they get on like the pastor tangent. Mm. I mean, I know, and the deal is like there's always a red light in my head of like I have these crazy passionate areas when it comes to scripture and teaching, so I'm always like on my sermon notes being like, you need to stop talking here because I will get off on one of those tangents. But it starts to become, I'm going to tell you about the gospel of Jesus, and the way that it's communicated is it's like on the same level.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the thing. One thing we want to kind of draw a line in this conversation is there are things that matter and are important. A lot of those are cultural little applications of scripture at times, or cultural applications of living out the Christian life. But I think the question is like, how do we recognize those in ourself? And what are the negatives of when those start to spill in?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are resources. There are ways that we educate ourselves. There's tools and resources that we use. I think the danger is when we cross the line of using a tool and then we elevate it to the level of God's Word or, hey, thus saith the Lord, and there's this peripheral resource that we put attached to it. That doesn't mean that we can't use resources. That doesn't mean that we can't use different tools and we can't educate ourselves. And even if it's not a third-party tool, even like you said, hey, if we're preaching or teaching or doing whatever, and we cross over the line of here's what I think about this versus here's what we've studied God's Word and what God's Word says about this, now we've kind of become God and our opinions, or God and our thoughts.
Yes,
and again, we have our
experiences.
Yeah. And I think that God uses our experiences. Our illustration, our sermon illustrations are a great way to, you know, kind of like parables in Jesus' teaching where we can, here's how this kind of played out. Here's something from my testimony, or, you know, those are okay to use, but we can't elevate that as gospel level or capital T truth level.
And I think what happens within the individual person, because this is me, like there have been things I've had to reevaluate because all of a sudden I'm going, oh yeah, Jesus is great and he died on the cross for your sins and the Bible is truth and that's his word and also this book, man, you really need it. And so all of a sudden it changes, right? All of a sudden I'm talking more about the book than I am actual scripture or the reality of knowing Jesus. Like all of a sudden I am beginning to evangelize, and I think that's the line. Like for me, that's the when I need to hear myself. And I mean, there's this thing we do. I mean, it's been for years and years, ever since I've been involved in church. About twice a year, you'll be like, hey, look at your time, what you spend your time on. Look at what you're talking about. Look at your social media feed. What are you posting?
Yeah.
That's what you're worshiping, right? But I think another aspect of that is trying to hear yourself in conversations about what are you attaching with. What comes after the and. That you're going, oh, and this would be a good resource, which is, once again, is an okay statement. Mm-hmm. But when you start to cross that line to you're evangelizing the hand.
Yeah. For me, one of the clearest examples of this, and I have to be careful because I also really appreciate and value leadership resources. And we've even done that some on this podcast where we've had topics where we talk about leadership. And that's such an important thing for me. And I think it's an important thing for a lot of folks. But I feel like that is a topic, that is a subject that a lot of times our focus can shift from, hey, what does a Christian leader look like? And so now we're going more towards these leadership principles, which are self-help and education, and that becomes the gospel that we're following. And it's, you know, well, the Bible's just going to back up what this, you know, expert on leadership says, or I'm going to see what the Bible says, but I also need to check what this author says about leadership. And I don't know if that's clearly articulated enough, but I think it's one of those subjects that feels really good, right? When we're learning about, because good leaders, that's a biblical thing. We have the best picture of a leader in Jesus Christ. That is the perfect leader. We have that example. And really, that's all we need is God's word to figure out how to be a good leader, follow the example of Christ. But there are tons and tons and tons of books, authors and speakers, especially in our Christian bookstores online, that all point towards this topic of leadership. And for me, if we're not careful, that becomes an and category to where it's the gospel and leadership, to where we are evangelizing these speakers and these teachers. We're evangelizing what leadership is, and we're not going, but yeah, you need Jesus. Like, do you know Jesus? He's out of the equation, but this is a really cool leadership topic.
Yeah, so here's what's funny. You said that in my brain. I remember multiple times being at conferences or like online things that are like training pastors, and it's the same thing. Like when you're hearing that stuff, it's the same thing as like what a sermon would be. Like it's trying to teach you and give you spiritual motivation and point back to scripture. But where you get the Jesus and in a really negative way is all of a sudden it'll take this packaged, which could be a very truthful, helpful leadership aspect. And then they'll go, let's apply it. Let me show you in scripture how Jesus did this with his 12 disciples. And all of a sudden then they're cherry picking scripture and they're proof texting. And all of a sudden it gets really like, ooh.
And man's insight feels biblical, you know, and again, it might have been birthed out of a biblical principle, but someone takes it, they get a good marketing team, they package it, and they stamp it on a book, and then it's, so, while you're reading and doing your quiet time, be sure to also pick up my book at the bookstore, and you'll need this. And again, I'm not knocking these resources. I am a person who really enjoys growing in my leadership.
Oh, yeah.
That's super important to me. But I do think if we're not careful, that is a very fine line, especially with that subject, that it switches and now we're kind of evangelizing and worshiping the leadership realm of things and we're kind of abandoning the God side of things.
And I think that leadership realm is a good example of how we get there. So like the leadership thing, I'm going to say about 20 years ago within the church world realized that when you looked at businesses and I'm getting a little theological here, and God created everything. So he created man and how they work. And they started realizing that businesses had leadership figured out better organizationally than the church in the way that God made us. They didn't derive it from a scriptural-based thing, but they figured out, like, oh, here's the basics. 1 + 1 = 2. This is some basic leadership stuff. And the church realized, like, whoa, we are way behind. And so in a good way, it helps the church become better organizationally. Mm-hmm. But then what always happens, and this is where it becomes a Jesus and, then it becomes the focus.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
And it begins to cross that line. And I think you get there, so like in your, which is really interesting because you basically used to work for a
leadership company.
Leadership company. On my end, really it's materials, books, and resources. Mm. And also, I will also say this, and the celebrity speaker or pastor.
Yeah.
Like those are the two areas I think in my last 20 years, it's, hey, you got to listen to this guy.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is, like, there's a lot of times I'll go listen to this guy. And I'll hear him talking, like, oh, I understand why he talks your language, but not mine.
Right. Right.
Right. And that's what happens a lot. Or a Bible study will do the same thing. And it's been really interesting, like, having watched, and this is, I'm going to say this, and this is my experience, so don't take this as scripture, but I've seen God use a lot of different resources to reach a lot of people, but I feel like God never allows one resource to be on top for long.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it comes in a season, and then, okay, my name is great, bye. Like, he'll use, and same thing with people and the celebrity aspect.
Yeah. Well, I think a good litmus test is, what does it point to? Does it point to the celebrity? Does it point to the principle? Or does it point to God's word?
Yep.
And ultimately, if you really take time to dissect certain things, it, again, if it's a book that you go out and buy, a lot of that is yeah, this is really great. But at the end of the day, buy my book, buy my DVD, come to my conference, do these things. There's an agenda there other than pointing you to the gospel, other than pointing you to God's word and going, that's it. That's all you need. Yeah, you need that, but also get my book. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I think a good litmus is where is this ultimately pointing me? Not does it take things from God's word and point me in the direction of this principle, but does it unpack God's word and point me in the direction of Jesus? Does it point me in the direction of God? And I think some of the things that we, if we would comb through it, we would see, oh, it's not inherently bad or evil,
yep,
but it's not really pointing me in the right direction, or it's claiming to be Jesus, which is great and good, and X,
yep,
you know, and the resource. And I think, too, another thing that's kind of a derivative of leadership and things that honestly I love are self-assessments and like personality tests. Yeah. I've had my eyes open and my mind blown to some really cool insights as to who God's wired me to be. And it's been super helpful in my walk with the Lord, super helpful in my calling and my career. But at the end of the day, where is that pointing me to? Meaning in my identity, is it Jesus and what I scored on the Enneagram? Is it Jesus and what my strength finders say? Or is it Jesus, I'm a follower of him, I'm crucified with him, I'm dead to myself, my identity is in him, and not necessarily what a test is going to tell me. Now, again, I'm not knocking them. I really like them, and I think there's some beneficial resources out there that help us understand who we are. But at the end of the day, what is it pointing to, and what is it saying that we need? Is it, well, you need Jesus, but you also need to know where you fall on this scale?
Yeah.
You know?
And
maybe we don't.
And there's language we've used before. Is it eternal?
Yeah.
Like, is this eternally true? And I think for me, that's where I've been able to put that question in my own head in those situations, is like, I've got to ask my question when I'm like reviewing, and it's hard to self-assess yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Self-assess yourself?
Self-assess, yeah, anyway. that was a lie, but anyway.
Allow myself to assess myself.
Yes. but I think that's a question I ask all the time, is like, hey, does this matter in eternity? And so that led me to, like, this matter, like in heaven. Like does this have more impact than just my earthly
Can we life? Create those things? Like, can we create those resources of eternal impact? Meaning,
ooh, see,
because
like
I don't know that we as people
mm-hmm.
can come up with anything that's eternal. Like, again, you look at self-assessments, you look at whatever, that makes a lot of sense, that can change, but God's the only author, right? Like, God's the only author of eternal things.
Yeah.
So if you are hanging on to a resource or and something, hoping that meets you in heaven, or hoping that somehow crosses over with you, chances are it's not going to. It's going to stay temporal and on this earth, because God is the only author of eternal things. And if that's what our focus is, that's why we can't have God and X resource, or God and X whatever it needs to be. It's those things are great. Those things are good to educate and point and to
yep.
and to learn about. But again, if it doesn't point us to God, it's not eternal.
Well, I mean, that's the role of the resource or the method. That includes people too. Mm-hmm. Is that you're the gateway that only when God decides to use you, that mm-hmm. puts somebody else in front of God having a conversation. And I think mm-hmm. that's maybe the, you know, maybe somebody passed you this podcast and you're not a believer, or don't know what this whole Christian thing is, and you're just listening to keep that person quiet, it's like, quit bugging you, so you can say you did. Which would be me. I'm just letting you know. That would 100% be me if I was in your shoes. I think there's the awareness that, like, because of how broken the world is, there's a lot of clutter around the church.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of clutter. Like, you walk in, and there's this, and there's that, and the deal is like, and I think I interact with enough people week after week that don't know how to do church, and I mean that as a compliment. Like, I don't mean that as a negative, but they walk in and they don't know how to play this game. You know, they walk, they've never been here before, and they walk in and it's different when I'm in a conversation with them and they're looking around the room, because you can tell they can be overwhelmed by all the and.
Yeah.
Whether it's a conversation with somebody, whether it's, hey, this book's for sale in the lobby, whatever it is, it can just be really cluttered. So let me ask you, because you were on a really good kick right there, so I want to provoke you some more. So we've talked about this in the aspect of Jesus and resources.
Mm-hmm.
Can there also be, what other labels would that also apply to?
Like the resources?
Well, I'm thinking on the other side of the equation. Like, so contextual to you right now at this time. Because one of the things I wrote down as I was processing this is, like, one of my litmus tests is when I get really overly passionate about an and, is I'll ask myself, is this true for all believers at all places at all times? Or is it simply a contextualization of my place at my time or right now?
That's great.
Because that's my, and I'm gonna call, I call it this, that's my, I need to reevaluate and figure out why I'm being overly passionate. Like, I need to pull this back off the and. Like, yeah. I need to get rid of this and.
Well, I think that points a little bit to that eternal question. If it's universally applicable to all believers in all situations at all times, okay, that's probably an eternal value that, again, God in His Word already has covered.
Yep.
If it's a seasonal thing that you're going through or I'm going through and we're like, this was impactful, I want to kind of evangelize this. Again, those aren't necessarily bad things.
Yep.
But if that's where we're spending our time, so I don't know what other labels or what other things.
Well, I'll put a hot button out there. I'm just going to say this, politics.
Okay. Yeah.
So like, and here's what I mean.
Yeah,
or I'm trying to broaden my spectrum, but a lot of times we'll get these ideals that are contextual ideals that will be distantly attached to. And most of these ideals, I will say, are not from personal experience. They're from an article or a post or something somebody read. And it'll be, if you don't support this, then I can't trust that you're a believer. And so you get a reverse Jesus and is what happens. Yeah. Is you get a, all true believers contextually believe X.
You certainly can't have Jesus if you don't have this. You know, like, you haven't even got to the Jesus part of it. It's a, you know, I think we could... We could dumb it down or simplify it down to Jesus and me, or Jesus and my ideal, my thought, my belief, my desire. When we try to compete or be neck and neck with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's where we fall short. That may manifest itself in politics, like you just said. Hey, I've got these staunch convictions that if you, you know, we can be believers or whatever, but if you don't have this, then I don't think you're you know, true Christian. Or it could be leadership or resources, and it's that human element that we try to put at a supernatural on a position, and those two can't coexist together.
Yeah, and I think really specifically drawing a line of what we're not talking about. We're not talking about little g gods, idols.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're literally talking about the stuff that bleeds over more sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something that for that season. And so I think we're talking about this on this reverse side. That gets really slippery really quick.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And I think the other thing is like, let me flip this the other way around. So we've talked about the self-evaluation of self with my self-evaluation. However, what happens when you're on the receiving end of somebody who is evangelizing an and? Because when I articulate that, you want to talk about a big step back, like, that's it. Like, and I think this happened, this is what happens, like, the last few years. We've joked about COVID crazy, somebody's been doing research, the most dangerous word ever.
Yeah.
I think that was elevated then, because you'd be in a conversation, you'd be like, did you know about da-da-da? I was reading the other day, and you're just like, I'm going to run away, doing the slow backup.
Yeah.
But I think that's what happens with me whenever somebody comes up to me and they want to... They're stuck. I'm not going to say they're doing it maliciously. I think that they're having that mental argument within themselves. And that's why I think it's so, like, I want to be so careful about that. Because it's very repulsive. And it's not just repulsive to whatever topic they're talking about. Like, it almost comes off as a test on me right then.
Mm-hmm.
And the question will come off as one that, like, you can't answer. Like, it's asking such a way that the only way you can answer is to answer negatively.
Yeah, I think, but I think just like anything else, if they're a believer especially, we have a responsibility to point them to the truth and to, you know, especially if it's somebody you're walking through life with, to hold them accountable. If I come to you and I'm evangelizing something, or I'm going, you know, Jesus and then I'm focusing on this resource, I would expect you to go, hey, that sounds great. I see how it's impacted you, but maybe you're adding this to the gospel and it doesn't need to be added to, or like maybe right. you're diving in or dipping in a little too
and
much.
And I also think, like, this is okay. This is where Matt's heavy brain goes here. Okay, God doesn't share the glory, man.
No.
And I think both personal experience and experience watching people walk through stuff, like, man, anytime you start holding on too tight to that and, like, he's coming for it.
So what about, you mentioned people who aren't believers. What about someone who's not a believer? So they've not experienced God and his glory and that, right. But they've experienced the and. So they've gone down the self-help, they've read the leadership book, and that's really helped them. And you can't deny, or you know, that's been beneficial for
it
them.
It has immediate earthly benefit. Like, right. We're not denying that in any of
so
this.
How if we encounter someone that's not a believer who is all about the and, you know, we're talking about God and. So that's the believer. Hey, there's a danger of saying God and. That really only applies to someone who knows God. Well, not really, but in this context, maybe. But if you're not a believer, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, and you're all in the and, how do you help someone see that there's an eternal resource, if that makes sense, that there's an eternal hope and helper, not just this earthly guy who thinks they've got it all figured out?
So full circle, you're obedient, right? Like, I mean, seriously, like, you're having that conversation, and this is where I've got to be careful in these situations, because I never want somebody to be convinced by me to become a believer.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be because they have an encounter with God. And so the whole goal is you have an encounter with God and it's your choice. And there's sometimes I feel like I've obediently led somebody to that threshold, like my God working through me, and they've chosen to follow him. And then I've obediently led them to that threshold and they run.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I think same metric, you're just going reverse here. Mm-hmm. Like, I think when you start to think about the thing that we're doing in that is, and I mean, I think this is somewhat of a question because I don't think this way, so it's hard for me to articulate, but if you think this earth is all we have,
mm-hmm.
and then you die and it's nothing, or you die and it's whatever else, and then I definitely think when you don't have that eternal answer, that one, you want somebody to think about, okay, what is that for them?
Yeah,
I say the for them on the, because I think a lot of people handle it the way I have handled my spiritual journey before. I just blank on it. I don't ask myself the question. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not trying to manipulate,
mm-hmm.
or I'm not trying to guilt.
Yeah.
But there is this aspect of like, well, I can't change their heart or their mind.
Yeah.
But I will show them a doorway where they can
ask the
question.
Pointing them to asking those questions to understand, is it temporal or is it eternal? And I think that conversation that we talked about with the Jesus and, a great practical is, one, understanding God doesn't share the glory.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's God and this person, or God and this thing, like, no, it's God. And then the second is that it's God wants us to dive into his truth, and his truth is eternal. So what are we evangelizing? What are we hanging our hat on at the end of the day? Is it a temporal thing of this world that some man's created? And again, could be good and beneficial, but if it's not eternal, then I'm not going to say it doesn't have value, but it's not eternal. It will at some point not hold its value. It will go away.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the scary part for me on that one, the one that keeps me in check, is the God will not share.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times where, like, I've sat there and I've I've watched as people continue to hold on to the and there's times where God lets that play out and that earthly thing becomes the idol. And that becomes what the focus is. And I've watched the path of destruction. Like, I've just watched destruction in the wake as they pursued that. Mm-hmm. Multiple times, different things. And I think the scary version in the church is, like, because sometimes that bleeds into the corporate church. And I'm just like,
whew. Yeah.
Like, it's that Old Testament, God, how long will you relent
mm-hmm.
vibe. And that gets scary, man.
Yeah, it really does. It's, you know, God in my style, God in my ideal, God in my belief. He doesn't share.
No,
he doesn't. He doesn't share. And the thing is he oftentimes will bring us to a place of removing that from our lives, or kind of cutting us down for His glory. I think that's a good assessment for us to stop and go: is it God and, or is it God? And I think this is a tough topic to articulate. But it's one of those self-introspectives where we have to constantly be evaluating.
Self-reflexive self, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly
See, it. And I think we boil it down to the question. Like, you want the application at the end of this. Do you have an and? Mm. Or what's getting ready to be the threat to step into the and place?
Because
It's one or the other. You either have one or two or 50, or you've got some that are lurking and pushing and trying to get up there. And so I think that's it. So we thank you for listening. We hope this was helpful.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any questions, you can email us matt@doubleclickpodcast.com, justin@doubleclickpodcast.com. We thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.